A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. I'm Dr. Ayan Panja, and today I'd like to talk about ADHD. Well, in some parts of the world, this is the topic of the moment, isn't it? And the rise in the number of ADHD diagnoses has more than doubled in the UK in the last 20 years. Now, it's such a huge topic, I'm not going to go into every single aspect of it, but I want to just look at the reasons it occurs, why the diagnosis rate has gone up, and some practical tips if you think you have ADHD or a child with ADHD. Now, one of the things I have to say as well, and I don't want to add to any stereotype, but I think I have ADHD myself, and that's because of what was in my school reports from quite a young age, and lots of things in my life that still are a feature of the way I work, if you like, to this very day. But enough of that. What's it all about? Well, just so that this doesn't go on for hours, because I could talk about this topic for a long time, I think. What we know about ADHD is there's a genetic component, and things that happen in early life, including antenatally, but also in terms of socioeconomics, trauma, diet, all of those things, and environment, they all play a role, like they do in every other condition. And many experts say that whatever ADHD is and how it plays out is a coping mechanism. Others call it a neurodevelopmental disorder. And in terms of diagnosis, there are various types. There's an inattentive type, there's a hyperactive type, or a combined type. And I think, you know, those words are fairly self-explanatory. But I want to start in the real world. If you know someone who has ADHD and you ask them what it's like, one of the best descriptions I've ever heard from someone I know is that they feel like their brain is never switched off, that there's all this kind of noise and activity and thoughts and feelings are just whizzing around at 100 miles an hour and it can feel overwhelming. Now, that's not everyone with ADHD, that's one version of it, but it's a very common one. And just for a minute, if we think about what's happening in the brain, I mean, I don't know what your understanding of ADHD is, but one of the words that is often bandied around in association with it is dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter which is associated with reward, excitement, thrills, you know, and often ADHD is labelled as, you know, or people with ADHD as people who just seek dopamine hits. That's kind of true, but my understanding is this. So if you think of the brain and what different parts of the brain do, so in other episodes I've talked about kind of three basic types of brain, the very primitive reptilian brain, the monkey brain, which is our midbrain, and then our frontal lobe or forebrain, which is the most recent part of the brain. And remember, the brain is sort of developed from the oldest part upwards, even when we're embryos. So the last bit of development is that frontal lobe, and that's the part that makes decisions, is very grown up, is in charge of things like executive function, problem solving, but also attention, organization. And the midbrain, which is what I refer to as the monkey brain, is part of the issue with ADHD. That part of the brain is impulsive and lacks that sort of adult type of control. And one of the ways that medication for ADHD works is it improves the executive function of the frontal lobe. So suddenly those connections from midbrain to forebrain, if you like, are not being made properly. And so an example of this would be procrastination, which can be another feature of ADHD. Now, it's such an interesting one because some parents of children and adults themselves who have become diagnosed with ADHD will often say, I don't think I've got it, or I don't think my child's got it, because actually, look, you know, they can do things if they put their mind to it. And what they're describing there is something called hyperfocus, where, you know, an example of this would be, I don't know, a deadline for something. And most people who don't have ADHD would steadily work towards it and do a bit as they go along. But often a child with ADHD or even an adult would just wait till the last minute and just do it all in one swift hit and probably do it quite well. And it's a double-edged sword because in a way it's a gift, because people with ADHD often are very creative. They have ways of making links with things that other people don't. But on the flip side, it can appear as though the simplest thing is a real chore for them. So it's almost like they know they have to do something, but they just can't do it. And as a parent, you know, if you have a child with ADHD, it can be really frustrating, but what they need really is a lot of compassion and a lot of understanding and explanation that, you know, their brain gets overwhelmed and, you know, they know what they need to do, but they just can't do it. And you need to support them in being able to do that. I think the difficulty is, and I've seen this before, where, and you know, dare I say, I've experienced it myself as a child who probably had undiagnosed ADHD. There's no point in actually sort of trying to get them to do something by saying, look, you know, what's the problem? Everyone else seems to be able to manage it. Why can't you do it? Because most people with ADHD will already be saying that to themselves. They think that something is wrong with them, that they just cannot get going. And that brings feelings of shame and guilt and being down on oneself, which isn't helpful to anyone. And, you know, a lot of people ask me while it's in my mind about medication, they go, well, look, you know, I think I've got it, but do I really need meds? And I'll give you my take on this. This is just personal, because there's loads of guidelines out there that everyone can look up, and there's lots of evidence in inverted commas about what works best. But, you know, ultimately, the person with a particular condition, and we're talking about ADHD here, gets to decide. And my view is, if it's really impacting your life to the point where you can't function, or it's affecting your self-esteem so much, or it's creating huge anxiety, again, very common in people with ADHD because they're so hard on themselves, you know, because they just feel that they can't do the things that other people seem to find very easy, forgetting the fact they have, you know, other powers, if you like, which people without ADHD don't. And it's definitely worth exploring medication, because the signaling, you know, the neurotransmitters, everything just works better. And, you know, you get your life back. If you've sort of spoken to anyone who has had a diagnosis and then gone on to medication, you will know that they say, oh my God, my life is just fully in context now. I totally get it. But for many years, they would have been struggling with focus, concentration, not being able to do things, letting people down. So, you know, I don't know whether this is ringing true to some of you that are listening, but I've seen so much of it in recent years. So let's just pause there for a second, because I've really raced through a lot of the kind of whys and hows and whats. What else? So there's all these marginal things as well on top of what I've just described already. And when I go back to general health, things like sleep, things like nutrition, things like exercise, there's no doubt that they have an effect on ADHD. But the simplest way, rather than talk about something very specific, like, I don't know, omega-3 fatty acids, is what affects all health, you know, whether you're talking about heart health or gut health or brain health, also affects ADHD. So if you're living on a beige high sugar diet, your ADHD is going to get worse, 100%. And that's not uncommon for people with ADHD because that dopamine hit you get from eating lots of sweets or something is actually part of the condition itself. It's ironic, isn't it?
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what would help and what would work for people with ADHD in terms of little tools? You know, if we're not talking about the medication, because that involves going to see a professional, getting a diagnosis. Well, firstly, you know, there are lots of rating scales online that you can actually take a test to see if you've got a propensity for ADHD. And I'll link to a couple in the show notes. Not necessary if you don't think you've got it, but if you think, hang on, this sounds like me, it's probably worth scoping out. Secondly, in terms of the deficiencies, if you like, and every single person has this, I'm not saying it's just an ADHD thing. Everyone is individual. And in the world of neurodivergence, you know, for each deficiency you have, it's counterbalanced by what I call a superpower. That's my view. But one of the common ones in ADHD is poor short-term memory. And, you know, forgetting keys or forgetting your lunch or forgetting to do something. And, you know, working memory or short-term memory is something that often needs reminders. So the use of alarms, for example, or things that are time-bound as reminders. And while we're on time, another thing that you will read quite commonly about ADHD is that it can lead to something called time blindness. And this happens for a number of reasons, particularly if someone's zoning out and they're hyper-focused on something. They won't acknowledge that time even sort of exists. Or you might know that you've got to be at a meeting for 3 o'clock, but it's 2:55 and you're sat at home, but seemingly not bothered by it. And, you know, this is not because, you know, this is one of the reasons why people with ADHD often get the wrath of other people that don't have ADHD. It's like, well, what were you thinking? What were you doing? You must have known that the meeting was at 3. You should have just got more organized and left half an hour early. It just doesn't work like that, because particularly if you're hyper-focused on a task, time's just not going to exist. But And you know, a really good example of a benefit of the hyperfocus and time blindness is if you, you know, someone with ADHD who has got a task that they are really focused on and want to do, if you sort of leave them to it, they'll come up with something absolutely fantastic, often, but not always. And so one thing that would really help, I think, in terms of structure and routine, which are the things that people with ADHD struggle with, are alarms and reminders. Now, the flip side of this is that that feeling of shame that I was alluding to before can actually make some people think, right, you know what, there's something wrong with me, I've got to do this. And they end up in this sort of state of trying to overdo it, where they think, right, yeah, you know, I'm going to get a diary, get organized, tidy my flat, you know, whatever. And then they can't do any of it because actually they start lots of things with the right intentions, but none of them get done. So another thing is being realistic in terms of what you can do, because the mind of many people, most people with ADHD, is overactive, for want of a better word. And so their brains do zip around, constantly thinking, constantly creating, but also a lot of the time constantly worrying that they're not doing the right thing or there's something wrong with them. There's so much I could talk about on this because it's a huge topic. You know, I could a whole episode on medication. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was really, you know, there is an increase in the number of people being diagnosed with ADHD. And, you know, what are the reasons behind that? Well, there's lots, really. And I think partly because, thankfully, mental health is becoming more destigmatized as time goes on, which is a great thing. Partly it's that, you know, ADHD often overlaps with other conditions as well. And so it often pops up as something that had been not misdiagnosed, but you might have been treating someone for anxiety, but actually the underlying, you know, issue was ADHD. And I think the other thing is just awareness of it. And that, I mean, not just personal awareness, but also teachers, caregivers, people who can spot it, if you like, which reminds me of an old adage, actually, from an organisation that delivers psychotherapeutic interventions. They often say, if you spot it, you've got it. Not sure how true that is, but and I guess, you know, my last word is there are so many theories about why conditions develop. There's nothing measurable about ADHD apart from scales. There aren't any biomarkers. Yes, there are certain genes that you can miss that predispose you to ADHD, but it's not that straightforward. And I am intrigued by the work of Dr. Gabor Mate, who wrote a book called Scattered Minds some years ago, which talks about the origins of ADHD. Now, he says it's not genetic, or he sort of plays that down. I mean, from what I've read, actually, there is a genetic predisposition, definitely, but that it's much more to do with what happens to you in early life and the kind of coping mechanism of these children who are in those circumstances manifests and presents as behaviours that you see in ADHD. Really interesting. One final thought. A lot of people ask me about society and whether we're all more inattentive because we use smartphones and because we are constantly distracted these days. And there's no evidence that any of that causes ADHD, but for sure it doesn't help. And I've noticed over the years that my friends who were the furthest away from being inattentive, people who could focus and had that kind of razor-sharp focus, are themselves now more inattentive. Does that mean they have ADHD? No. And one of the things we've got to remember is that it's a continuum. It's not an absolute thing. Some people have traits of certain conditions when it comes to mental health, particularly, you know, everyone knows someone who has a tendency to be anxious about things. It doesn't mean they have a disorder of anxiety. And in the same way, inattentive people can have traits of ADHD. Okay, I'm going to leave it there. I hope that was helpful and made you think a little bit more about ADHD and things that you might be able to do if you're someone that thinks that might have it. Do have a look at the show notes. And one last plea for listeners. please share my podcast with your friends, colleagues, family. Do make sure that you like and subscribe whatever podcast platform you listen on. The more people that listen, the better. And I just want to say thank you so much for your support. It really means a lot to me. Until next time, do stay well, take care, look after yourself. Bye for now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.